This is my first Sunday to share communion with you, of many Sundays to come, hopefully. And I think back over my years in ministry and of the various times I have communion, and it seems as though that the ones that I remember more vividly than others are the first ones. And so this one has special meaning. And I would like to say to our radio audience that if they are those who believe as we believe and they are not able this day to receive communion, if they will call the office and come by the church here this week during regular business hours, I would be glad to serve them if their heart, as John Wesley said, is as our heart. And they are those that will be leaving here today after we celebrate communion and be going to our shut-ins and to the hospital to share with those who would like to receive communion. There is nothing that we do that is more vivid and proclaims more readily of who we are as Christians than communion. It's that time when we show forth the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I was looking at this passage, I was reminded of my time in basic training when they put me on guard duty. I was standing outside of a building and really did not know what was inside the building that I was guarding. I was under training, and it was a time when, as a military person, that you think probably the greatest example of power was a butter bar lieutenant. And anything above that surely had to be close to God Almighty. And so I was standing outside of this building, and they had placed me on guard duty, and I had a billy club in my hand and a helmet on. And lo and behold, what should be coming toward me? Not a lieutenant, but of all things, a captain. I could tell by the evening light glistening off of his chrome bars on his shoulder. And so my next concern was, now when is a proper time for me to render a proper salute? And so when he came to the steps that they had trained us, I rendered a salute, and he rendered me a salute and just kept coming. And he got about that close to my face, just like this. And he said, "Should I be this close?" In all the cognitive reasoning of Beetle Bailey, I said, "No, sir." And he said, "Well, where should I be?" And I said, "I have no idea." He began to tell me how that you should tell someone to halt, stop, and be recognized. And the next day, I told my training officer that I was not properly trained, and so then we all had training, and you can suspect what happened to the training officer after I told him that we didn't know what to do. As I read this passage of Scripture, and I read about all those things that we should not do and what we should do and how we should be, realize the importance of being on guard, of being aware of my surroundings. For you see, when you are on guard, you should be aware of what's behind you, beside you, in front of you, because you are responsible for all that comes into your territory. And we know that Satan, when he comes at us, he doesn't normally come at us as that proverbial red thing dressed with horns and a tail, but normally comes to us in the normal occurrences of everyday life. Could it be that this morning, as we gather here in a church, as we prepare to come to this altar of faith, as we have sung the songs of Zion and have heard the scriptures read, that we might not truly understand what's taking place here? Might it be that we are not on guard? John Wesley, in the Anglican tradition, and we in the Anglican Wesleyan tradition, affirm that communion is a means of grace. It is not something to be dreaded because you're not properly prepared, but as you come here and confess your sins, and as you begin to start the journey of faith again, to affirm that what is taking place here this morning is a whole lot more than just bread and wine. On the journey that John Wesley made on the Simon, the ship that they sailed for 4 months from England to Savannah, there were individuals on board ship, and they said to John that they wanted to take communion. John Wesley has said that he had never been around ladies like this before. These ladies were nothing like his mother, Susanna, nor his sisters. These were ladies of a different cut of cloth, as we would say. These were ladies of the world. And it is written that it is amazing how the impact that these individuals had upon him. They begin to tell John Wesley that they perceived that they were worthy to receive communion. John didn't know what to do about that. So that there was one lady there, Miss Laws, who had taken ill on the journey, and they had placed her in General Oglethorpe's cabin. And the perception was that she was going to die. She asked that in her dying days that she at least should be given communion. And John agreed. It is said that when he went into her cabin and offered to her there the Eucharist, that meal that calls for us to be thankful, that immediately the presence of God came upon her. And she did not die, but rather regained her health and proclaimed through herself and through others that the point of transformation occurred when she took communion. This morning, as we prepare to come here, are we thankful? Are we aware to celebrate this time together, the meal that our Lord Jesus Christ instituted when He said, "As often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you show forth the Lord's death until I return."